we kick off the show this afternoon by welcoming to the program a great friend, a friend of the show, a friend as a human being as well, multi-talented. You know him perhaps as the leader of the Night Show Band. He is a terrific musician, but a longtime radio guy as well. We're so happy to be joined in studio by our friend Brian Netto.
Hello there.
Hello, Brian.
What a pleasure to be here with you, my friend.
The mellifluous tones.
Oh, how much do I owe you, by the way? Quite a bit, I'll bet.
How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, thanks. And I'm cold. You're right. It is cold out there today.
Nice.
I think we should, since I found out you're a trumpet player, I think we should go out together and play some notes and tunes,
outside?
Man. Yeah, do a duet out there. See how we do.
we were talking about my old trumpet days, and you probably had one, too. I used to have a plastic mouthpiece for those cold days.
Aren't they incredible?
Yes,
you can do it. But the only problem is the valves are going to freeze up then.
Right.
I did the Ellsworth Parade one year, and I was the only instrumentalist on a flatbed, and it was for another radio station at the time, and my valves froze. Oof. Right at the beginning of the parade, and so I played Jingle Bells, but without any melody behind it. And the rest is history, my friend.
Wow. Well, we were flashing down memory lane a little bit here because your mom, Bev, who is a broadcasting legend herself,
yes,
who I think has worked at maybe every media outlet in Eastern Maine, she worked here in this building back in the 70s, and you had memories of being here as obviously a very young man.
I was 7 years old. 1974 was the year, and the morning man at the time was Don Clark.
Oh, God, yeah.
And afternoon drive was Mike McCarty, and I think Harry Gordon was doing nights. And I happened to see the station because I came in with Mom one time, and I saw these guys in the studio, this same very studio that you're in. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, this is kind of really cool that here I wind back up where I was in 1974, and it was just the reverse. The door right there, the board was facing the door, so we're kind of in reverse of what it used to be back in those days. But anyway, I watched those guys on the air, and I was just absolutely taken with broadcasting. I all of a sudden thought, I watched them cue the records, play the commercials, do everything associated with the job, and I thought, oh my goodness gracious, that's what I want to do someday. So I've mostly been a part-timer doing it when I do it, but very fortunate to have been able to hang around in those days and meet those people. Eddie Owen, he was the program director. And then I think there was a guy named Irv Hunter.
Oh, yes.
That was general manager at the time. So, yeah, this goes back a ways. And Marge Netto worked here. Do you know Marge at all? No relation,
by the way.
I
remember the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She used to be the secretary here, and then she went to work for another station down in Ellsworth from the 80s on, but she worked here for a good long time. So there are a lot of memories associated with this building, and the thing that amazes me is the lights are the same as they were when I was here. You know, I'm looking for that stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's just so nice to come back and, you know, in this building and feel sentimental again. And I feel horribly about the fact that, you know, things are going to wind down here before too long, but boy, the one wonderful thing is nobody can take away any of the history that's here. That's here permanently. That won't go away. And the shows that folks like you have done, I mean, it's admirable. It's just admirable. And it's been such a part of the fabric of our area and our listeners. So, you know, we're going to miss you.
Well,
that's
for
sure.
And you mentioned that. And we've talked a lot this week about the history. And obviously, first and foremost, it's about the people. And I feel especially bad for the full-time employees of the building who are looking for work, who've done such great work over the years, but also bad as a person who grew up in this area, listening to the radio and loving the radio, to see these signals go away because they've been such a part of the audio oral landscape for so long. And like you, I mean, I remember the days when it was essentially WLBZ radio, WABI radio, and WGUI radio all on AM, and that was it.
It was.
And were some FM, but nobody listened to FM back in those days.
No, they didn't back then. And wasn't it cool? The stations would come on at sunrise and then sign off at sunset, right?
Yeah.
I remember the old WGUI. I listened to that back in the day, and
they were a daytimer. They had to go off the air when the sun went down.
That's right. Yeah. And I used to hear Mike O'Hara on there. I think back in the day, and again, a talented group of people.
And I saw you bring up a show. Now it was a nationally syndicated show.
Yep.
But you mentioned it on social media. I used to love it as a kid. Saturday mornings, Monitor on this station on
the NBC network. Bartholomew Tucker.
Yeah, they had some great. They had Gene Rayburn was one of the hosts.
He was one of the hosts too.
Joe Garagiola.
Yep. Yes. Oh my, I haven't heard that name in years.
And it was a great mix of talk and music.
It was
terrific.
It was. I used to listen every time, and I even remember the final show too of Monitor, and Louis Armstrong's "Hello Dolly" was on there, and they had all kinds of tributes on there, and they were pretty emotional when it was the very last show, and they signed off, because it's truly a... there it is! the memories.
The Monitor... the Monitor, I guess, jingle, logo, whatever it was.
And you know, it's such a part of history, just like the Mystery Theater with E.G. Marshall.
Yes.
Remember that one? You know, it's just a piece of history where radio was radio, and you had to produce it. It was a show. It was a real show, live.
It was on these airwaves, this frequency, in 1938, that Orson Welles' War of the Worlds was broadcast, because in those days, this was a CBS affiliate.
Ah, gotcha.
All those years ago. So many, it's not just, you know, we think of the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, but I mean, this station has been on this frequency, or some station on this frequency, for 98 years.
That blows me away.
It's the history of radio in Maine.
Yeah. Right, and think of all the talented people that came through here too.
Oh, my word, yeah.
Oh, you know, and went on to bigger networks too, some of them. I remember a show way back on LBZ. John Wellington.
Yes,
I remember, talk show. Do you remember him?
I remember John, and I remember John doing sports with Don Clark and John McKernan, Senior, the governor's father.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah. Wow. Boy, that goes back in time so far. But, you know, my mother, when she would be selling, she'd take me on the road when she'd be calling on her clients, too. And I'd hear John Wellington's show. And LBZ was a great station, you know. Yeah. And the fact that they had Downtown with Rich closing things out now. I think that's such a wonderful close for the history now.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was reading yesterday, somebody, might have been the station, posted a story from 40 plus years ago on the conversion to Z62.
Yeah.
And they talked about, we're so excited to get our hands on this big 7-county signal.
Yes.
And, you know, we think about FM as having the big reach, but this signal, even today, if I'm traveling south, I get Z62 clearly in Augusta, and I've picked it up into Portland on more than one occasion.
Yeah, it's amazing, and probably Skip at Night brings it down to Portland, you know, it may. But yeah, it is truly amazing. And I remember when the format switched over to Z62 and the television promos that were on and everything, and the VU meter that was pinned all the way to to the right. But it was a big format change, because prior to Z62, WLBZ was really a pop, easy listening station.
Yeah.
You know, the 3 degrees and will I see you again?
I was working at WABI at the time.
Yes.
And we were kind of in the middle. We weren't as conservative as WLBZ, but we didn't rock as much as WGY.
Right, exactly.
It's crazy.
What a great station, though, you folks had at ABI as well. You know, and the people that work there, you know, what a history. You mentioned Toll Tompkins earlier. He was the morning man on WBGW, I remember.
We had a great crew when I was there. I mean, George Hale in the morning,
yes,
with Steve Martin,
yes,
doing
Steve
middays.
Yeah.
We had a guy named Larry Richardson doing the afternoon show, who was great. Kelly Jackson, John Ashton. There were some terrifically talented people over there.
And you're one of them, my friend. Well, I remember when you came to broadcasting school and I heard an air check of you. And, you know, you're a piece of history here that's, you know, you could have gone network. I am convinced of that. And I hope some network hears you and says, okay, come with us now. You're free.
Who is that old man? What's he talking to himself there?
You're great. No, don't ever undersell yourself, Rich. It's true. And your listeners have been commenting it on social media as well. And I'm so pleased to see that.
Brian Netto here in studio with us. I had a great time taping the night show the other night.
You were fabulous, of course. And Danny and I just love having you on the show,
You
too.
Know, I was talking about it on the air here yesterday. Every time I've been lucky enough to be invited there, I'm amazed at everything that goes into that production.
It is. And the kids do such a great job.
There are so many moving parts to that show, but it all flows together so well. It is a big-time network-caliber show in every sense of the word.
It really is.
And I'm not just saying this to you. I've said it to Danny as well. But to me, what pulls it together and gives it that pro polish is your fabulous band.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you for saying that. I'm very proud of my band members, too. You know, it's different when you do a television show. It's not like being in a nightclub. In a nightclub, when you're playing, you're kind of laid back. Television or broadcasting is the entire opposite. You know, there are tight cues you need to do. The tempos need to be right. And, you know, the energy needs, we need to be one with all the energy. And the amazing thing about this band is they are. And we've been very fortunate to have a place to play our music, too. The crowds love us, which we appreciate so much. But we're also grateful to Danny because he gave us a spot to do that. And, you know, that's rare nowadays. Where are you going to get a gig on a Wednesday night usually? But Danny, you know, I've been in the music business all of my life, essentially. And Danny is probably the sweetest guy I have ever worked for, period. I mean, he is just so supportive and respectful of all of us. And I'm just so grateful for that because I got to work for an angel for, you know, like 12 years in show business.
I think that's why he's been so successful with the show, though, because more than anything, he appreciates everybody's talent and effort.
Yes, without question he does, and respects everybody. And his interviews are fabulous. I mean, and you know, he'll talk to local people just like he does Ed Asner. You know, the respect is the same. He's not starstruck by anybody. Mm. He's so composed in everything he does. So, I'm so proud of him. And I would love to see him get some opportunities as well because he's passionate about what he does.
Absolutely.
You know.
It's 14 after the hour. You can stay around for a little bit, right?
Okay, sure.
Please.
Love to. Thank you.
Got to do a couple things. Take a break. We'll come back. You've got that beautiful horn here. I want to hear you play a little bit.
I want you to play.
No, you don't want that. You do not want that, my friend. Let's get a check. First of all, we'll do some quick sports headlines, let you know what's going on. Maine hockey tonight off. But this weekend, busy. Number 5 in the country, last games before the semester break. And the Black Bears tonight will take on nobody but Saturday, Sunday afternoon games with Stonehill. 2 o'clock tomorrow, 3 o'clock Sunday. We'll talk Black Bear hockey with the voice of the Bears, John Shields, later this hour. Women's hockey in action this evening. They play number 13 Boston University tonight, number 15 UConn tomorrow. Men's basketball starts a stretch of 4 straight on the road at Fordham Sunday. Women's basketball hosts St. Joe's on Monday at the Pit. Boston sports scene, Celtics put their 18-4 record on the line tonight as they play the Bucks at the Garden. Bruins play the Flyers Saturday at the TD Garden. Patriots get the weekend off. They've got a bye, so there's 3 hours you don't have to waste on your Sunday. Last night, the Thursday game, it was a good one. I tried to hang in there, but it's Thursday night. I'm not staying up till that late hour, but I caught the first half, a little of the second. Lions beat the Packers 34-31, the 11th straight win for Detroit. Best record in the league at 12-1. Packers still awfully good at 9-4. FCS football playoffs this weekend, and two teams from Maine's CAA are involved in action. Rhode Island Rams on the road down in Georgia, where they play number 7 Mercer, and Villanova up against top 10 UIW Incarnate Word down in Texas. Major League Baseball, the owners get together for their meetings, the winter meetings starting Sunday. Will Juan Soto announce his destination before then? We'll see. Red Sox still believed to be in the mix, along with the Mets, Yankees, Blue Jays, and possibly Dodgers. Sports headlines on Downtown are brought to you by the wonderful people at Tiller and Rye, your local grocer, 20 South Main Street in Brewer, where they carry items from more than 400 Maine suppliers, food, household, personal care, the freshest produce around, terrific locally raised meats, artisan cheeses. Stock up with coffee from Maine coffee roasters, beer from Maine craft brewers, wine. Save money with bulk grains and spices. Great lunch items, too, in the grab-and-go section. Love me the sesame noodles. Oh, so good. See what they've got for you. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram if you don't already. Tiller and Rye, your local grocer, on the corner of Main and Wilson Streets in Brewer. 17 minutes after the hour. Mighty John coming up in a bit. John Shields later. Joe Riccio, Danny Cashman in the 5 o'clock. Next week, man, they're coming out of the woodwork. Our friends wanting to get on the show one last time before we shut this place down. We've got some good stuff for you next week. Monday, the great Larry Mahoney of the Bangor Daily News. Tuesday, the legendary Don Kerrigan of News Center Maine. And you'll appreciate this, Brian.
I will.
His first commercial job in broadcasting, right here.
Was it really? I didn't know that.
Doing the news.
Wonderful.
For WLBZ Radio.
Got a great voice.
Also next week, author Peter Ames Carlin. He's been on a bunch with us. He's got a great new book about the band R.E.M., and he'll talk about that. Actor Stephen Tobolowsky returns on Wednesday's show. Always a great visit. Thursday, author Trip Wetzel on his new book, Norman Lear, His Life and Times. World Almanac, a publisher. Sarah Jansen will join us. And on Friday, one of our all-time favorites, heck, she's a downtown Hall of Famer, the great singer-songwriter Roseanne Cash returns next Friday. Was the first ever duet you've heard between Herb Alpert and Brian Netta. How about
that? Aren't I lucky?
That's great. A little more here. Oh, man, that's great.
Well, thank you.
Because you're young. You're so much younger than me, but...
talking about
trumpet. That's why I became a trumpet player because of Herb Alpert.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
We had all those records when
all
I was
those
a kid.
Records. He was just so awesome, and he knew how to put out a hit that would make trumpet popular, too.
He told us the story. It was, said, this may take a little of the shine off the cover of Whipped Cream and Other Delights, but that was shaving cream.
Shaving cream, yeah.
And the model was pregnant at the time.
Oh. Yeah. Wow, man. How about that?
Yeah.
What a stretch.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
No. Brian Netta with us here in studio. Well, you mentioned you've been playing music your entire life.
Yes.
How did that start?
Oh, man. Well,
musical family.
Musical family and lucky breaks, really. Al Corey, and Al Corey had a big band here in Maine for many years. It was very well known in central Maine. And he started me out soloing in front of his big band after I had taken a year of lessons at age 6. So at age 7, I was going all over the state and performing Hello Dolly and Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree because those were the hits of the day. And the crowds loved it because, you know, in those days, that was a real novelty thing. You know, that was out of the ordinary. Nowadays, some of these kids that come out, they're so talented, it's just unbelievable. But anyway, my musical career, I have been so fortunate, Rich, because I've appeared at age 12 with Milton Berle, the father of television, at Lakewood Theater in Skowhegan.
Wow.
Yeah, when he was out for a week's show. And then later on in life, you know, I got to back some incredible stars at the right place at the right time because either they were up here in Maine and needed some help or whatever.
You played with Frankie Valli a few years ago.
Yeah,
was
he
so
was
cool.
One of the more recent ones. Yeah, 2016 and then the Manhattan Transfer when they came up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they were just what sweet people they were. And it was their Christmas show that we did at the Collins Center. And, you know, Temptations, Four Tops, I've done a couple shows with them now, which was great. And Leslie Gore, Brian Hyland, I played for them, too. And, you know, again, it was because I had gotten some wonderful training in Boston in the mid-80s. And with that, it made me a more refined musician and able to do that sort of thing. So the fact that those opportunities did present themselves and happened mostly in these areas when people would come up here, I was very, very fortunate. So, Yeah, it's been a wonderful time. You know, the industry isn't what it used to be with all of us being as busy as we used to be. But, you know, there are still things we find to do. Sometimes I'll play in a cruise boat during the summertime.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
And I know you did some gigs, and you welcomed in one of my best friends for many, many years and a terrific singer, the great Tommy Gass.
Oh, Tom is incredible. What a natural.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does the Sinatra stuff with us, you know, with the Al Corey Big Band, which I still run. And he just moved away, which is too bad because he was just a terrific crooner. And it was a dream of his to do that all of his life. So he got to do My Way, you know, and all the big Sinatra tunes, New York, New York, and, you know, My Way. And Tom just, he has such a gifted voice, and crowds loved him. So, yeah. And there's another broadcasting guy, you know, been in it for years. But I also think Tommy did jingles back in the day, and he was part of the Barracudas, wasn't he?
He was with the Barracudas and several other bands in the area, and then with his buddy Denny Bouchard did a bunch
Denny
of those.
Denny Bouchard, another talented guy. And he was a radio guy, wasn't he, Denny, for a while?
I think he was.
Yeah, the old PBC.
Yep.
Years ago. Gosh, the history here. But yeah, he went out to L.A., didn't he?
And, he did.
And did some tremendous studio
and
work.
Still there, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and later. Still going.
Well, so you've got two horns here. Now, is that a flugelhorn?
Yeah, this is I guess I'm Chuck Mangione at the minute, at the moment here. Yeah, it's a flugelhorn, and it gets a little mellower sound. And, you know, coming in the studio for the first time, I didn't know acoustically which would be the better horn to play. You know, trumpet is a little more cutting and edgy and everything, and flugel is a little bit smoother. So I thought I might dedicate a tune to you or something.
Please do. We would love it. The great Brian Netto here on Downtown. I'm getting out of the way. Somewhere at her chateau in France, Petula Clark is smiling. That was wonderful.
That's for you, my friend, in tribute to all the wonderful things you've brought us all these years, Rich. Thank you so much for all you've done, buddy.
No, thank you, Brian. It's always great. I love seeing you, and I love doing the show with you the other night. We'll talk more about it with Danny later on, the night show. Yeah. Yes, I'm on there, but watch for Brian and the band and Danny tomorrow night. And
thank you, Rich.
Thanks again for coming in. It's great to see you.
My pleasure. Great to see you always, and wish you the very best, my friend.
Anytime you get to see Brian and the band perform, they are the best, so check that out. It's 4:30. Hey, another legend joining us right here through the magic of radio. He's the humble, but nonetheless mighty John Marshall, for another edition of This Day in Rock and Roll History, brought to you, as always, by Dunnett Incorporated, 63 Washington Street in the Penobscot Plaza, Bangor. Dunnett has done it again.
Go, my John, go! Hi, this is Mighty John Marshall with This Day in Rock and Roll History on Downtown with Rich Kimball. On this day, December 6, 2013, the electric guitar, played by Bob Dylan at the 1965 Newport Folk Festival, is sold at auction in New York for a record $965,000.